This time of year, many people are planting gardens, planting flowers around their house, working outside in the soil. And when we start to think about their desire for their gardens and their flower beds, and it is that they have healthy gardens, healthy plants, that grows vegetables and beautiful flowers for them. But in order to do that, there are some essentials that are needed for a healthy garden. If you know anything about plants, and I'm digging kind of deep here because I've forgotten a lot of this from my days in landscaping. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but when you have a plant that grows in the soil, the plant has this wonderful system that nourishes it and helps it to grow. It's planted in the soil and it has the roots, and from the roots they absorb nutrients from the soil. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that those nutrients go into the plant and they go up the phloem, Tom, am I right? They go up the phloem, which are capillaries. They're transferred to the top, where through sunlight, those nutrients are transformed through photosynthesis into the nutrients and the food that the plant needs. And then that's transferred back down through the plant through what's called the xylem. Am I right, Tom? The xylem's up and the phloem's down. All right, then I have it backwards. But at any rate, there's a wonderful thing that takes place in these plants. They absorb nutrients from the soil. The nutrients are transferred up. The sunlight transfers them through photosynthesis. And then what's produced goes back into the plant to make the plant stronger, to make it flourish, to make it grow, and eventually to produce some kind of fruit. But it needs nutrients in order to do that. So therefore, we fertilize our plants with nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, NPK. The plants need water, it needs sun, and likewise, so does the church. The same is true of Christians also, and it's the same being true of the church. There's a need for something, and if the plants are not nourished and grow, then the whole garden withers and dies. And I hope you understand I'm talking the Christians and the church. There's a need for God's intervention, and it's essential. It's essential in the life of the church and in the life of Christians. So many Christians today that I know don't want to grow. They want to come to a saving grace, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I accept Jesus as Lord, and now I'm a Christian, and that's as far as they want to go. They don't want to grow. And the Bible tells us that that's not pleasing to God, because Christians are supposed to grow in their faith, grow in their journey. We call it sanctification through the Holy Spirit. And as they grow and witness and produce fruit to the glory of God, others come into the kingdom of God. In Psalm 20, we were dealing with Tuesday night in Bible study, a Psalm of David. It was a prayer for the king, and it was asking God to supply certain things for the king for victory, King David, for victory against his enemies. May he send you help from the sanctuary. May he grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desires of your heart and make your plans succeed. May the Lord grant all your requests. In other words, asking that God would continue to provide for David in David's struggles and in the battles he was involved in. And he goes on to write in this prayer, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. There are those who trust in chariots and those who trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They're brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. And you see, we talked about this Tuesday night, that God saves his people and stands them up again, and that's resurrection. And that's not just from the dead, that's resurrection in everyday life, because God is a powerful resurrecting God that saves his people and stands them back time and time again as they go along. Amidst the false teachings of their day, the church of Colossae stood firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. and it was making a difference in the world. When Paul wrote to the Christians there, he expresses his thanks to God for their faith in Christ and their love for others. Notice here, first of all, folks, the most important thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. There were problems going on in those days in the Christian churches all through Asia Minor. And Paul writes about them in his books, in his letters that we know as the Pauline writings. Notice what he does here to the church in Colossae. He doesn't just go to those problems and start hashing them out and telling them what the solution is. He starts out with encouragement. He encourages them and praises God for their faith in the Holy Spirit working in them to produce fruit. He points out the good things that are going on in the church. Sadly, today, we have many, many naysayers that are constantly dwelling on the problems that are going on in the church and what we need to do to be solving those problems, focusing on the negative things rather than the positive things. You know, if we go to a rose bush, what do we focus on? The thorns? No, we focus on the beauty of the flower. And it's interesting how the flower and the thorns coexist together. And I think, wow, that's just like the church. In Paul's day, there were false teachings. There were difficult people that were working against Paul. And Paul focused and tried to get them, keep them focused on what was our focus as the church and is today. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, our need for faith in him and trust in God's word. He knew that the Christians would need to be nurtured to continue making a difference in the world. He knew that there were things that they were going to need so that they didn't wither and die, that they would continue to produce fruit. So he prayed for them. And he began, last week we talked about, he began by saying, I always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. He was focusing on what they were doing right and telling them how it has made a difference in the world. He isn't focusing on numbers. He isn't focusing on the problems. He's focusing on what is positive, encouraging them. And he goes on to say today, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. First of all, here are the things that Paul is praying for this church. Now, we recognize Paul as being a special apostle of God, called by God to minister to the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew by birth. I want to say he was a Roman Jew, a Jewish Roman. He had mixed parents. He was born in the Roman Empire, so he had certain rights in the Roman culture. Paul was a very smart man, and as we read, we understand that if Paul's praying for something for the church, it's pretty important. And these are the what I call the nutrients that they needed and we need today. First of all, he says, I've not stopped praying for you. I've not stopped asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of God's will. People today are saying, I don't know what God's will is. I wish I knew what God's will is. They're buying tons of books to figure out what God's will is. God's will is right in the Bible. If you got a Bible, all you have to do is sit down and read it. He's praying that they would have a knowledge of God's will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. God's will can only be known through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom is not knowledge. You can memorize all the Bible verses you want, but if you do not have spiritual wisdom, you're going nowhere with those scriptures. Wisdom is what you do with what you know. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same. You know what you know because of something that's happened in your past, something you've experienced, something that you've expressed, something that you've experimented with. You can say, I know this, and I know this to be true. But wisdom works it out in our lives. We use what we know, and we use it so that we don't make mistakes, and we go the right directions, and we do the right things. And Paul's praying that they would have spiritual wisdom. That spiritual wisdom comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit present in the body and the lives of the believers. And then when we have spiritual wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, we'll start to understand a little bit. Oh, this makes sense. Not that we're ever going to fully understand God, but we'll start to understand a little more what it is God really wants us to be doing as Christians, how God wants us to be acting through spiritual wisdom and understanding, coming by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We'll start to have a knowledge of God's will, because spiritual wisdom and understanding are necessary for good health, necessary for the results of the labors that we do in the Lord, and they're necessary to please the Lord. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. And how do we get them? We have to read the Bible, because the Bible, as we've been talking about in Bible study, is special revelation to us. There's general revelation and there's special revelation. General revelation comes through the creation all around us, showing us that God even exists at all, and reveals, like I said, that God's an artist, that he's got things in mind that he wants us to see and to know about him. But when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work through the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and all of a sudden we say, that makes sense. Let's see, isn't that somewhere else in here? Yeah, here it is. The same thing happened here. Isn't that a coincidence? No, that's the Holy Spirit working in those people then and through the word to us today to bring us on board with God's children and God's kingdom. So he's praying, first of all, for spiritual wisdom and understanding, necessary for good health, necessary for the result of our labors in the Lord, and necessary for us to please the Lord. In verse 11, he goes on to say in verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. See, because he knows that through spiritual wisdom and understanding, we're going to start working in a way that pleases the Lord. And some of those ways are through bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Notice he says growing, not stagnant, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You see, all these help us to know God better. They strengthen us. They give us endurance. They give us patience in our Christian journey. There's spiritual wisdom and understanding that only comes from God. Secondly, he's praying that they're thankful. He said, also giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. How many of you know you are not from birth qualified to be in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light? We are not qualified. We are born with a sin nature, you see, and something has to happen to qualify us. So he's saying that as we pray, we pray that you're joyful, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in that inheritance in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He rescued us. You see, he looked down on us with pity and with mercy and compassion. And as we were swimming like Jonah with the seaweed wrapped around us, ready to die because we had rejected the Lord, he threw out a lifeline, and his name's Jesus Christ. And he said, here, grab onto this. You see. So he's praying that we have that the church has the knowledge of God's will and is thankful for what God has done. A church will never go forward. A Christian will never go forward. They'll never grow, neither will a church, until first and foremost, they are thankful for what God has done, including the trials and the tribulations, because those are true grace. They are the things that bring us closer to God. I was talking to Sandy Pfeiffer, who takes pictures every year at conference. I've seen her for 19 or 20 years now. She's been doing it. When I first saw Sandy, she was a lot younger, as we all were then. She had no kids, and as time went on, 1 year she was not at conference because she had cancer. And I asked her last year, and I asked her again yesterday, "How are you doing, Sandy?" She looked at me kind of funny, and I said, "Well, you were sick, weren't you?" And she said, "Oh, yes." She said, "But just a couple months ago, she was now pronounced cancer-free," and she's been cancer-free for over a year, and she's got two children now that just graduated from middle school. And you know what she said to me? She said, "So many people were coming to me and praying for me and encouraging me." And she said, "You know what I told them? I told them, no matter what the outcome, there is no bad outcome of this. The outcome is good no matter what happens. If God chooses to heal me," she said, "then praise the Lord, and it's a good outcome, and thank you, God. But if I die, the outcome is still good because I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ." I looked at her shocked, as probably a lot of people did. She said, "In the darkest days that I had, I never lost my faith in God. It was hard some days," she said, "to understand how he was going to do this or what he was going to do. But," she said, "I was thoroughly convinced that no matter what he chose to do, the result was going to be good." That's an awesome witness. An awesome witness. We will never move forward in our spiritual life and our relationship with God until we are first and foremost thankful for what God has done. And first and foremost, he says, thankful for the promised inheritance. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1 of Ephesians. He said to them that you, having believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until that day comes when we are redeemed. When God redeems his possession, we're guaranteed an inheritance. Now, if you're not thankful for that, then I don't know what to say. Because knowing that you have in Christ, this is, Christians know with assurance that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And we have a guaranteed inheritance. There's no doubt about it. We know that God rescued us. Thank you, God, that you rescued us. We didn't deserve to be rescued. You could have went on about your way. But no. No, in his compassion and his mercy, he chose the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, the great Jehovah God, saved us. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of light. So he prayed for the knowledge of God's will, and he prayed that they would be thankful for what God has done. These are the things that nourish the church, and through these things, the church flourishes and grows because people see us. And in our despair and trouble, they see you're thankful. Yes, I am thankful that I have a God who cares for me so much, that I have a glorious inheritance awaiting me. And as we grow and learn together in our knowledge of God's will, we're nourished, we're strengthened. And the world sees us and said, "There's something different about those people. And I want it. I want it." You see, we have a lot of knowledge in our day-to-day. The church has a lot of knowledge today. It's saturated with outside teaching that's contrary to the gospel. But does the church really have spiritual wisdom and understanding? Oftentimes I would be called to somebody's house because a particular shrub was dead in their shrubbery bed. The shrub would be dead, and when I'd go back, I'd find it was a shrub on the corner. So the first thing I would do when I would go is not look at the shrub. I'd look up, and I'd look at the eaves spouting. And a lot of times you would find that right there at the end was a downspout, or maybe the end of the spouting. And the plant was dead, and I'd step on the ground, and it was soft. And I said, "Your eaves spouts are plugged." And they said, "What?" And I said, "Your eaves spouts are plugged." "What do you mean?" I said, "The spouting is plugged and the water's running over and it's drenching the plant and it's killing it because it's getting too much of something that's not good for it. Water is good in its proportion, but it's bad when it floods." So we clean the eave spouts up, and sure enough, they were plugged, and plant a new shrub. And sometimes I'd dig the hole a little deeper and put stone in the bottom for better drainage, and lo and behold, the trees would flourish, you see. And so it is with us as Christians and the church today. We say, wow, this is all good. It's all good. Folks, it isn't all good. I'm not saying there isn't any good in the world, but it isn't all good. Some of it's pretty darn bad. And the church becomes saturated with this to the point it's drowning in heresy. My wife went to a graduation party yesterday afternoon while I was at conference. And when a lady found out she was a pastor's wife, the lady came up to her and started trying to tell her that Jesus and God were different people. That God's spirit and Jesus is human, and how they were different and separate. And Bishop said, I don't know what to say. I said, you should have said the truth. It's not what the Bible says. It's all over the place, folks. It was in Paul's day. It still is today. The enemy's not going to quit. So what do we pray for the churches today? I've got to go on with this. What do we pray for the churches today? When I consider the fruit that has been produced through our churches here in Elmsport, in our parish, I see some things in common with the churches of that day. When faith is exercised, oh, we don't have the money. When faith is exercised, the money comes. Through prayer, when prayer is present, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't have the power. We don't even know what to say, but our eyes are fixed on you. God makes miracles happen. Things happen. Through unity, when I see people working together and cooperating despite disagreements, despite attitudes, when they work together for one common goal, to glorify God and to please Christ, the church flourishes. Things happen and have happened in our parish. Through unity and cooperation, prayer and faith. And these were the things Paul was commending them for, because it bore fruit. We need nourishment. We need sanctification through the Holy Spirit. The number one thing is to live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him. And it starts with faith in Jesus Christ and love for each other through the Spirit. And that's what Paul was talking about, was the most important factors in the life of this church. And it was bearing fruit, which meant the church was growing. It was healthy. It was nourished. It was fertilized. It was doing exactly what God had chosen for it to do. It starts with faith in Jesus Christ. It grows with the knowledge of God. And you're never going to have that knowledge of God until you read His word. And you can't know God and have a relationship with God without knowing him. You see? It starts with faith in Jesus Christ. It grows with the knowledge of God. It's strengthened by His power as the Spirit works in us. And it thrives on patience, joy, and thanksgiving. Gosh, I wish I had more time. This, as I stood in our basement at the parsonage a few weeks ago with some engineers and people from our insurance company and from some companies that came with ideas on how to fix our walls, you know, I'm just praying that they don't become the walls of Jericho, but yet that they become the walls of the temple that they rebuilt when they went back from captivity. And you know, some of the contractors that fixed these walls had my wife scared to death. Don't even be near them. They're going to collapse. They're going to explode. They could kill us. And after hearing some of the talk, I stood there and I said, those walls are not going to come down. They're not going to fall down. And they all turned around and looked at me. I said, guys, they're not going to fall down. I said, this is God's house. And I said, and we're praying that they don't. We're praying that we're safe, and we're trusting this in the hands of God. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. Let me see. And I said, we're just going to be patient. We're going to thank God that we have a house to live in. And we're going to trust in God to provide all things. Without these, as a plant without nourishment withers and dies, so does the Christian. So does the church, so does the fruit, and so does the gospel. Jesus said in John 15:5, you got to stay connected to me. I'm the vine. If you don't stay connected with me, you can't do, apart from me, you can do nothing. In English, Jesus was saying, you can't do anything without me. So don't expect to do something without Christ. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Stay connected to me, Jesus says. Peterson says in his paraphrase, be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have this strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It's strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. And Peterson concludes our reading with these words, God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Knowledge of God's will through spiritual wisdom and understanding, and thankfulness for what God's done in our lives. Let's pray.